I wanted to focus this episode on gender versus sexuality. So right now, there's a big push to make sure that there's no information about trans people and what the difference between gender and sexuality is. And that's alarming. For this episode, or for this podcast rather, I'm going to provide the definition of sexuality as who you like or who you're attracted to. And my definition of gender is how you express yourself. They're two different things, just by those definitions. So if sexuality is who you're attracted to, presently the dominant perception of sexuality is in binary terms. Do you like men or do you like women? But we know from mathematics that binary actually includes more than just either or. Binary includes both and none. So if you like men and you like women, then you like both, and we call that bisexual. If you like neither men nor women, then you're what's considered asexual. This only scratches the surface. We use terms so that we can communicate. The only reason that we come up with terms like bisexual and asexual are because we need to share this information and talk about it and have a discourse around it. So it all comes down to language and communication. One thing we know about communication is that the better able you are to communicate, the better able you are to self-reflect on the thing that you're communicating. So if you can put these things in terms and you can understand those terms, you're essentially making it easier for you to understand more complex versions of things. There's an element to learning where we break larger, seemingly overwhelming concepts up into smaller tasks or smaller chunks so that we can understand them better and accomplish them. And that's essentially what we're doing. But we're working from the opposite end. We're collecting these chunks and organizing them in a way so that we understand a bigger picture. So again, just using binary terms, there's, you know, heterosexual terms like you like men or you like women, but there's also bisexual, there's asexual, and there's a whole slew of other terms that we can add to this list. So the point of this podcast is not about sexuality. The point of this podcast, if anything, is about gender, but specifically about trans women. So I'm not going to deep dive into this and explain all these things, but just realize, just on those terms, if there's people who like men and there's people who like women, then there has to be people who like both and there has to be people who don't like either. Sometimes that's biology. There's grounding in our genetics and in our environment, and possibly that biology is what controls who you like and who you don't. It's also possible that it strictly comes down to preference, or it's possible that only your environment controls it. But the truth is, you can't get out of your environment. It's not like if you go to another planet, you're going to be surrounded by Martians and you're just going to revert to liking men and women. I know this sounds hypothetical, but I'm trying to illustrate the point that you really can't get out of your environment, that we are social species and that you're bound to be surrounded by people. You're bound to be surrounded by people who are men, people who are women, and you're going to find things that you like about both of them because we're social creatures. So that's the environment. The biology side says exposure to certain hormones in neonatal pre-birth can lead to same-sex attraction in young boys or in men, period. But there's also other scientific discoveries that we just don't have yet. We haven't understood those. We haven't made them. Not a lot of money gets put into studying this. It's not that big of an issue the same way that, you know, discovering the cure for cancer is. So there are some scientists who can conduct studies and they care about this issue, and so that's what they are doing. But by and large, it's such a niche topic that there's not a lot of funding for it. So just to dive a little deeper into this, let me explain another aspect of this definition of sexuality. So there are people out there who are only attracted to a specific race and they are not attracted to other races. There are people who say, I am only attracted to black people. And there are people who say, I am not attracted to black people. There are people who say, I only am attracted to Latinos or people with Asian descent. And isn't that wonderful that at the end of the day, that really doesn't make a difference. It's okay to like a certain race. It's okay to like some feature about a person, like redheads or blondes or brunettes or people who are tall or people who are short. It's okay to like that. It's okay to like people who are very muscular. And it's okay to like people who are not muscular at all. Like, we all have our own preferences. That's what sexuality says, is sexuality is who you like. And so if you have those preferences, that's okay. You're attracted to those people. And again, the reason that we've come up with terms for certain things is because these concepts are so complex that we have to start using terms to simplify our speech. We don't really have a term for people who are only attracted to blondes or redheads or brunettes, or at least some languages don't have that. There's definitely a way to formulate a word for that, but it hasn't really taken on in everyday speech, at least in the English language. But when I start talking about these things, you know, there are plenty of people out there who feel that way. So if we wanted to talk about this concept, if it got complicated, we could invent terms that are commonly used to the community at large. Well, we're in a time period where we need more terms for sexuality and gender. So back to my definition of gender. Gender is how you express yourself. So if we, as a society, insist on living in this binary world where there are men and there are women, we also have to allow for, in our language patterns, people who are both genders and people who are neither genders. And again, this is just a simplified version. I'm not saying that binary systems are accurate for gender or sexuality. I'm just saying that in the binary gender systems that have been presented to us, you have to account for those things. Otherwise, you're not encompassing everything. It is natural to find outliers in anything, any single conversation you're talking about. For instance, what's your favorite color? There are going to be people who say, I love this specific color. And there are people who say, I hate this specific color. And there are going to be people who say, I just don't have a favorite at all. So there's people who are going to say, I love all of them too. And that's your both, not, and or. So in binary terms, binary systems are great because it simplifies things. But binary systems aren't even broken down into just one or the other. They're always broken down into one or the other, both, or none. So with gender, if gender is how you express yourself, let me dive into this a little more. Gender is how you feel. It's how you feel that you are socially, physically, mentally, and even emotionally. So those are all areas of human existence, you know. How do you see yourself physically? Like, look at your body right now and tell me, do you have any traits of the opposite gender? Literally everybody does. There are traits that people have that literally everybody does. And the reason for that is because humans aren't biologically predisposed to one conformity or the other. We're a collection of different things, you know. Even if we are combining sperm and eggs, the DNA inside of those sperm and eggs are essentially mixtures of the genetics of the parents. And in order to preserve genetic diversity as a species in this kind of system, we have to retain those things in the species itself, the living organisms. In any biological system based on DNA, you're going to see species that have male traits and species that have female traits. Now, the interesting thing about this is that it comes down to language again, because there are people who they're going to say, oh, well, this specific trait is actually more akin to men than women. But that doesn't mean that's always the case. So I'm going to start speaking in terms of myself with the rest of this section on gender, because I think it's easier to understand gender when you have a real example. So as I said, socially, physically, mentally, and emotionally, how do I feel about myself? And how have I felt in the past about myself? I can recall times in my past where I definitely did not like being around the boys as a child. From when I was at a babysitter's house, I was like 4 or 5 years old, pre going to elementary school. I remember wanting to hang out with the other girls at the babysitter's house and playing with makeup and talking about days of our lives and doing girl things. And I can recall an instance where this kid, we're going to call him Evan. Evan wanted to come play with us, and I told him under no uncertain terms, we're having girl time. You can't hang out with us. And he argued with me saying, well, you're not a girl. And I said, yes, I am. And, you know, that's maybe my earliest memory of feeling socially that I'm trans or that I'm a woman. Physically, I have always had feminine traits. And going through puberty and having these feminine traits really played with my head because I didn't know what a trans person was. I didn't think they existed. I didn't have any information about that kind of stuff. And so I couldn't just say, hey, I'm trans and it's okay to be this way. A good example of my gender as manifest physically is that when I was in high school, I remember attending a football game and I was around a bunch of girls on the bleachers. We're all standing up. And it was a cold day, and of course I was around a bunch of girls in high school. That just makes sense, because that's where I felt comfortable. But physically, I've always had soft hands, and I don't use lotion, or I didn't use lotion. They just were naturally soft. It's a genetic thing. It's how my body has manifested itself, and maybe I've had a hormone imbalance too. Like, maybe my body's been fighting to be a woman this entire time. I remember it was cold and we were talking about how cold our hands were. And I said, yeah, my hands are so cold. Feel them. And this girl in front of me, she was older than me. I don't think she really knew who I was, but she reached out and she grabbed my hand. And she's like, oh, wow, you have such soft hands. What do you do? Do you like put lotion on? And we had this big conversation about it. And because at that point I was closeted trans, trying to manifest myself as masculine as possible to hide the fact that I secretly was trans, I felt very self-conscious about that. I also, at that time period, can recall being slapped in the butt by other women who pointed out that I have a bubble butt, and they were jealous of my bubble butt. And to me, you know, I'm self-conscious because I'm fighting internal transphobia. I'm fighting repression that I've been doing to hide that I feel like I'm a woman. Nobody's treating me like a woman, and I don't know how to cope with this stuff. And so, you know, I was a little bit offended by that. And I look back at that now and I'm like, that's silly. I've also had long eyelashes. I have very captivating eyes, I think is the term most people say, that they're unique and seem like they're more feminine than masculine. Physically, you know, soft skin, deep eyes, long eyelashes, bubble butt, petite frame is also in my genetics. And yeah, I'm taller. I'm not like a short person, but I'm taller, but I'm definitely petite. And physically, how do you feel? Well, if you have all those traits and you're being honest with yourself, you're not like, I have these traits and they aren't who I really am. If you feel that way, maybe you actually do feel feminine. And maybe there's physical things that you want to approach life with. And like, I don't really want to live in a society where we can't be open with that. I'm not saying that you're trans just because you feel physically feminine. Like, there's nothing wrong with feeling feminine as a masculine person, just like there's nothing wrong with transition. But it's when you have the combination of things together that you say, as a whole, I feel feminine. I'm a woman. I'm a trans woman. So mentally, by example, for me feeling mentally a woman comes down to how much or how well I multitask. So all the men I know are pretty linear, pretty one track. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with this, so hope nobody's offended by me saying this, but, like, they're more simplified. It's not, like, a dumb thing. It's a simplification of a lot of things, and I don't know what their brains do to do that, to make it so simplified. But, you know, there's an advantage to it. You don't have as much anxiety. But I've always felt like, you know, my mind is picking up information all the time and processing it at a rapid pace, and it's presenting me with multiple options that I can just think about. And I'm not talking about like ADHD or problems with concentrating. This is just a normal function of my brain, and it's more akin to how other women describe that their brains work, that they can have periods where they're just not thinking of anything, their mind is just blank. And they can have periods where their mind is just racing and they're thinking of everything and nothing at all. I have always felt like I've had a feminine brain. And there are neurological brain patterns that are more like women. And I would bet that if I got tested for that kind of thing, that probably conclude that, hey, my brain really is wired this way. Lastly, let me share an example of how I felt emotionally like a woman. When I was young, pre-puberty, I was a big crybaby. It was how I coped with things. It was how I interpreted the world that, you know, there were so many things that were out of my control, and sometimes all I could do is just cry about it. And the act of crying made me feel better, made me process my emotions. As I was going through puberty, I still had all of those things that I just didn't have control over. And testosterone, as I started producing large quantities of it in my body, it blocked my ability to cry. And this is a real thing that men face just through testosterone. Testosterone prevents them from feeling emotions fully. And this isn't everybody. You know, there's a way you can learn to feel your emotions and process them. But definitely now that my hormones have been adjusted, I see a night and day difference between the emotions of men versus the emotions of women. Male emotions are very muted. With the exception of maybe anger, which for some reason is socially accepted for men. Men don't get together and bond the same way that women do over emotional things. After I started hormone therapy, my ability to cry came back, and it has been the happiest thing for me. It has been the greatest thing for me in my life. I'm a big crybaby still. There's times where I'm completely helpless. Kind of comes with the territory of being trans, that we're at the mercy of so many people and so many things and biology in general. And sometimes the best thing I can just do is cry it out, feel better, and move on with my life. Emotionally, I feel so much more in touch with how I want to be, how I see myself, and how I want to express myself. And, you know, that's the same with everything about this. Like, I know I'm a trans woman because socially I fit in better with women. Physically, I look like a woman. Mentally, my brain works the way that women work. And emotionally, I act like a woman. I process my emotions like women do. So combining all those things, to me, I feel like this is how I should express myself. I shouldn't deny myself this way of life just because people want to force me into what my sexuality is. Other people don't get to decide how I express myself. They can try, but that's the one thing in life that people really can't take away from you, is how you express yourself, how you react, how you choose to behave. So I'm going to take a step back here, and I'm just going to point this out. Other people have said this. This isn't coming from me. This is coming from experts who know way more than I do about this. And this is thrown around in a lot of places, that gender is a human construct. So what that means is that humans invented gender. We might not have invented sexuality. Sexuality is innate. It's part of who you are, and you don't really have control over it. You don't have control over liking something. You don't have control over what your favorite color is any more than you have control over who you are attracted to, what you find arousing, what you want to possess. Those things are innate. They're part of you as a person. And sure, they can be based on your background. They can be based on biology. But that's kind of irrelevant in this, isn't it? That just something that happened in the past, it doesn't change how you feel in the present. So if gender is a human construct, we also have to recognize the language component of that. We only talk about it. We've only invented this thing because we needed to talk about it. And, you know, maybe in the past, gender was irrelevant. When you lived in a small village or you lived in a tribe and there's only 100 people to choose from and you like these people and you want them to like you back, you kind of conform a little bit so that they will like you because you have to fit in with them. Your world is so small and you still have to, you know, reproduce and carry on the tribe. But there are 8 billion people in the world today, and not everybody has to have children. Not everybody has to conform. And it's okay if there are outliers who choose to express themselves a certain way because they feel that way themselves. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is that being a trans woman, it's a natural product of this system. I just don't fit into what common language says, but the system that you use and the language that you use needs to, and it does, account for people who are outliers like myself. And so being trans, being a trans woman, is perfectly natural. Being bisexual is perfectly natural. Gender roles are guidelines for what a gender should be like. But humans have never strictly followed gender roles. We've always kind of morphed these things together. And yeah, there's certain things that we associate with, well, these are responsibilities of men and these are responsibilities of women. And this is how they should behave to accomplish those roles. But they're guidelines either way. They've always been amorphous. They've always been flexible. So I hope that this is a very informative episode for you about the difference between gender and sexuality.